is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, January 4th, 2021. Yeah, the calendar has turned, and we are back, and hopefully better than ever. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is certainly your responsibility. Gentlemen, I trust that you all had a good holiday stretch and that you're rested and tanned and ready to go.
Listen, I did what everyone was clamoring to do this year. I spent Christmas Day in Nashville.
Oh, nice.
Which is who didn't? It was the number one destination this year of all years for Christmas Day. But it was safe and lovely. And fortunately, everyone was okay in spite of that craziness. But I'll tell you what, I missed you guys. Yesterday provided so much. I've never been more shot out of a cannon and ready to go on a Monday. I mean, there is so much, and it all relates to football, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, I love the time off, spend time with the family, but there were plenty of times I wanted to get back together with you guys and jump right in to what is going to be just a spectacular day of sports. And thanks to all of the listeners out there. They had countdowns on Twitter. There was some misinformation about us starting on the 5th.
Whoa,
why would we start up? You know why? Because I think for some reason, when Dave was talking about the new DCR 5 in the morning show, for a while he was saying starting January 5th. I think that threw people off.
Clown.
But no. So we had to straighten that out, and it's very nice to be back.
You know what? One of my holiday wishes that didn't come true, Peter, because I knew there were a lot of things going on that Don probably wanted to talk about. Okay. And I just was wishing for Don to try to call in and try to get a word in edgewise with Shusen. That would have been classic radio.
It's a joke! Bob is he's one of the great talkers of all time.
And Don is who?
And he wasn't done, by the way. He was calling college football this weekend. Or no, was it? Yeah. Did he do college football Saturday and the Jets Sunday? I believe
he did. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did the Orange Bowl.
And I heard him crushing. He was having a moment during the Orange Bowl of such unbelievable sarcasm with his color guy.
Dan Orlovsky.
It was Orlovsky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He got along very well.
It was very funny. He was in full with Shusen mode. I think he might have been lighting up a duper and listening to Fish.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, on a day where Adam Gase rightfully gets fired, that's not the lead, everybody. We'll get to it, but it's not the lead because everybody expected it. I mean, Don and I, in the back of our minds, said, there's a real weirdness about the whole thing that they're letting him finish the season, but they did fire him, and he earned it. He did not do a good job. Doug Marrone got fired today with the Jaguars after 1-15. Anthony Lynn, 7-9 with the Chargers. Some questionable calls over the last 8 weeks, just time management and things like that. Timeouts, he gets fired as well. That's a pretty good job, but a lot of people are saying that the Jaguar job is the best job because they have 11 draft picks. They have the number one draft pick in the draft, and they have about $100 million to spend. That's a really good job. They need a GM. They need a coach. But we start with what happened last night. Now, it shows you, Peter and I have worked together for what? Almost 5 years now.
Yep.
And he sends me a text, which, Don, I didn't even tell you about this. I wouldn't even dignify it with an answer. You know, obviously the Eagles tanked yesterday. So Peter texts me and goes, well, you're all for this. This is what you're about.
I said you have to respect this tank job by Peterson.
But I didn't respect it. I respect a tank job when there's not something that's hanging in the balance for other teams. Because what you have to do is you have to respect the sport. You have to respect the pursuit of a championship. I've seen it in baseball where when a team is out of it, you should be resting people. You should look at young people, things like that. But when there's a team that's involved in a pennant race, you don't do that. It's an unwritten rule. What Doug Peterson did yesterday was an insult to the game of football. Now, it's not because we like the Giants here. And the Giants, you know, the Giants have no kick coming either.
I
win a game.
7 minutes. I knew you would say had no kick coming.
They had no kick coming whatsoever. Beat the Eagles. You had a lead. Beat them. And you wouldn't even have to worry about yesterday. You'd have sat there smoking a boubange and just watching the game. It wouldn't have meant anything.
That's right, man.
But the bottom line is you had to get a look at Nate Sudfeld? Are you kidding me?
He didn't. He tanked.
And yeah, but isn't it sad, Don? You're tanking to move from the ninth pick to the sixth? That's such a big deal?
Listen, you know how I feel about this across the board. Play to win. Every single opportunity you have. Not even in any situation. Listen, I got killed. I worked alone on the 21st after the Jets won their first game. Hey, I root for my teams to win. And we'll see how it all kind of works itself out there. And I outlined all the reasons. I get why you wanted Trevor Lawrence. I get why you're disappointed. But you shouldn't have in sports team, you know, fan bases rooting against their team to win. You should always try to win. And I've got some ideas on how they can work that out on another day that we can discuss that further. But one thing, you're tanking to try to get Trevor Lawrence. You're tanking to get Peyton Manning. You're tanking to get Mario Lemieux. You're tanking to get LeBron James. Now we're tanking to go from 9 to 6? You know, so what's going to happen? Are we eventually going to tank to go from 20 to 15? I mean, come on. You've been invited to play on national television. I know the Eagles wanted no part of that, but they were invited to play on national television against a divisional rival. All right? And I've been around a lot of athletes. I've called a lot of games, Michael, and you kind of live for a game to have meaning. And for you to maybe be able to play the role of spoiler. Don't let them celebrate on your field kind of deal. And those guys on the field, and a lot of them didn't get a chance to play, but the ones that did play worked their tail off for three quarters, and the game is winnable. They're going to play in a winnable. They're a four-win team getting a chance to play kind of their own playoff game.
And don't forget, division rival.
A division rival to at least have some control, some say on what's going to happen in the postseason. On national television, and you decide to pull the plug on that game. What does that say to the players that are working their tail off for three quarters? To go from 9 to 6, a lot of those players aren't even going to be on the team to benefit from that 9 to 6 jump. Whatever the 9 to 6 jump is even going to mean. Because we might fast forward 5 years from now, and the ninth pick may turn out to be better than the sixth overall pick. Play to win the game.
The thing that gets me, Don, is that Peterson came out today and said, I was coaching to win.
No, you weren't.
You were coaching to win, then you should be fired. Then you're a bad coach.
But
if you think
like
Sudfeld
that,
gave you a better chance, and I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts is any great shakes,
but he's better
than Nate Sudfeld.
Especially the way he played. Now, Doug Peterson's getting a lot of blame for this. If it indeed was a tank job, which we all agree that it was, it wasn't, we got to get a chance to see Sudfeld, who they've already gotten a chance to see. He's played in regular season games before. He's a sixth-round pick, okay? Nobody carves out an entire fourth quarter for a sixth-round pick in Week 17, no matter how meaningless the game is, all right? So it was a tank job, no question. That usually comes from above. And it's not like Doug Peterson exactly had stable ground to walk on because things have not gone well.
Don, that's the point. Doug Peterson has just found out you're safe, because as many people as there are who will say, oh, Doug Peterson's not going anywhere, and Al Michaels and Collinsworth said that yesterday. They had an attitude like, how could anyone think you'd move on from Doug Peterson? But a lot of people think maybe you would move on from him. If he just found out he's safe, he's gladly going to take the bullets for this, for what was a Jeffrey Lurie decision of we want to move up three picks.
And unfortunately, you end up being a puppet, right? So you've got to go out there and lie to the general public about how you wanted Sudfeld to get a look, that you weren't really tanking the game, that you really wanted to win the game, and all that garbage, all right? And the fact that this happened, I just think it's embarrassing. And again, I am not coming from a Giant fan perspective on this. Yes, the Giants would have benefited from it, but you can't win six games and complain. And all the tweets from Martinez and Ryan Logan during the it was entertaining television. But at the end of the day, Michael's right. You had Dallas beat. You had Philadelphia beat. You let those games slip through your fingers. You don't have a kick coming, as Michael likes to say. So this is not coming from a Giant fan's perspective. This is coming from a perspective where I'm getting sick and tired of all of these games not meaning anything anymore. I never grew up with this. I rooted for my teams to win. You played hard to win. The only thing you had to worry about, Peter, from a fantasy football standpoint when you were a kid, was a team already having clinched, not playing their starters. Now, that bothers me, too.
But it's much more acceptable.
The Steelers handed the Browns a playoff position.
But,
Because they didn't play Ben Roethlisberger.
Absolutely.
But it makes sense. It's still with the pursuit of a championship in mind.
Right.
Here's the spirit the is correct.
Right. The ultimately is not to get a better pick. It's that, hey, Pittsburgh has not had a bye all year because of COVID. They've got an aging quarterback. They earn the opportunity through their play the first 11 weeks of the season when they're 11-0 to make their own decisions. We live with that growing up, that the team that doesn't need the game because they're already in the playoffs, you might not have their starting quarterback in the second half, and certain starters might be rested. You kind of understood that. But for a four-win team to get invited to Sunday Night Football, that have a chance to have some control over who ends up going to the playoffs, and in a 17-14 game, just pull the plug on the game, to me, that's just being disrespectful to the sport.
Never mind
the Giants, never mind the Washington team, just being disrespectful to the sport, and to be wrung through the mud the way they have, and deservedly so, to go from 9-6. I mean, come on, guys, what are we doing now here? So every time you're out of it, just completely tank for the pick and not go out there and work to try to win games?
I thought you brought up a great point. They embarrassed themselves in front of the entire NFL and entire public watching on NBC last night to go from 9-6. The Jets at 13-0 decide to win two games and lose out on Trevor Lawrence. Now we'll see if it's going to haunt them for the rest of their next 20 years, like the Chase Young thing is going to haunt the Giants. But to go from 9-6 is insulting. And I'm not a fan of lotteries because I remember the Celtics once, they lost 20 more games than the San Antonio Spurs. 20 more games. And the lottery had them lose out to the Spurs. Spurs got Tim Duncan. Rick Pitino never became a great NBA coach because of it. And the future of a team was impacted by that. But if you're going to have teams doing this right now, I'm sorry, you almost have to institute a lottery.
You got
to
come up with some system because it doesn't make any sense to have a sport where fan bases are rooting against their team to win. That you're not making an effort to try to win the game. And for what? Again, I went through it when you guys were away. You look at all the quarterbacks in the NFL, none of them were the first overall pick, right? And the great teams, did the Steelers ever have to tank to become great? Did the Packers ever have to tank to become great? Did Kansas City have to tank to get Mahomes, right? Did Golden State have to tank? You look at these great organizations, the well-run organizations, but yet in sports, for some reason, we feel the need to reward the incompetent, to reward the teams that don't know what they're doing. Does that make any sense? Should we reward teams that are trying? Not every year things are going to go your way, and sometimes you're going to be bad. And it's nobody's fault, but just that's the way circumstances are. Everybody got old at the same time. But when you're an organization like Jacksonville that's gotten it wrong time and time again, or the Jets that get it wrong time and time again, or that Philadelphia can strategically move up in the draft by affecting the what's going on in the sport. Listen, Michael, you could disagree with how the Jets handled the end of the season and how they should have lost those games, but you're never going to look like a jerk for trying to win. But Philadelphia was willing to embarrass themselves last night to go from 9-6, and they did embarrass themselves. Rich Eisen killed him. Chris Mortensen killed him. Sal Palantonio's coming on in a couple of minutes to kill him. This was universally panned by the NFL.
Did you see when Michelle Tafoya asked Alex Smith about Sudfeld coming in the game after the game? And he was just like, well, we assumed something had happened. He was like, I still don't know. I still sort of assume something happened. Like, Washington players didn't get it because here's the thing. And let me be clear. Alex Smith, and I know we won't have to spend a lot of time on this today, is clearly compromised, guys. Michael, you said it. That calf injury has been terrible, and he was not right last night. But what made the Eagles game was the way Jalen Hurts plays. It threw the Washington defense off. They constantly had to respect his ability to run.
Right.
So it's 17-14 when they pulled Jalen Hurts for Sudfeld. At that point, and they said this, Collinsworth said it, at that point, the Washington front was able to just tee off on this immobile, incompetent, no offense, quarterback. So the fact that Jalen Hurts even, it's not a guarantee they would have won, but he made the game a potential victory for the Eagles that they chose not to get.
And what happens, and I'm glad it played out in front of all of our eyes. When we say a team should lose games to get a draft pick, it should never involve the players. The Eagle players are playing their hearts out. You can see after the game how ticked off they were.
Yeah.
It's all about winning games. The way that you throw games is by a coach or a front office saying, I want you to play Nate Sudfeld, if the game is close. And the one thing that I don't like about it, and I think Peter will appreciate this as well, it shouldn't take away from the unbelievable story of the Washington football team. You got a coach that's undergoing unbelievably aggressive chemotherapy. You've got a quarterback that had countless surgeries, that his life was in danger, and he's playing, and he somehow right. led them into the postseason. And what the Eagles did yesterday, they took some of the shine
sure
away
did.
From what should have been a glorious day for Washington.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever felt that unsatisfied about a really a game that I was, I mean, guys, we make fun of the waiting all day for Sunday night. I mean, I was waiting all day. Yeah. I was waiting all week for Sunday night. And when the game ended, I felt like Washington didn't win. And I felt like the entire league didn't feel like we won. And you know what the unfair part is? We were winning when Hurts left the game.
Right,
and
right.
they still get no but credit for the win because it looks like a tank.
Washington shouldn't be put into a position like they were gifted something that they were trying to go out there and earn. And forget the fact that they're 7-9. The fact is they won this division. Whatever the record is, they won the division. And they had to win the game to do it. And yeah, they won it, and they're not going to take away that chance to go and that home game against the Buccaneers, and we'll see what happens coming up this weekend. But you're right, Peter. You felt like you got robbed of. You didn't get a chance to earn that victory, because that's the conversation, is that the game was thrown away. Maybe you would have won the game anyway, but the fact is, we'll never really know. And for what? So that's why I don't get into the conversation. You guys should say we. That's why I just play to win, and then let the chips fall where they may. I'm not even going to get into that. These guys work hard all week to go out there and get a W, and they got robbed of it by their coach and their organization.
Let me ask you guys a question. If earlier this week, Peterson comes out and says, Jalen's been feeling a little whatever this week, we feel like we've already seen a lot, we're starting Sudfeld on Sunday. If he'd announced that on Tuesday,
I'm fine.
And Sudfeld takes first team reps all week, totally different situation?
Yeah.
It's different.
You took out a quarterback that was not hurt.
It's totally
That was a better
different.
Quarterback than Sudfeld.
Because there still would have been that feeling of impropriety, right? Like, is he really hurt? Because remember, they had nine guys that, I think if that game meant something, most of those guys probably played. So there was this air going into it. From a Giant fan perspective, I didn't have much hope because I didn't really feel like Philadelphia, it didn't seem like they were engaged all week to play the role of spoiler. You know, so you're right, it probably would have felt a little different, but there'd still be those allegations, like how hurt was hurt? What's Philadelphia doing here?
But and maybe this stench is thinking, so much worse. This and, is and, so much worse.
And maybe he was. Maybe they were generally surprised. Like, we're not going to win this game. Oh my God, we might win this game. So let's go. Like, I know Andrew's an Eagle fan, and they have been aggressive all year. But even the 4th and 4 from their own 4, we had a chance to tie the game to me. And I know Peterson's aggressive, so it's not that egregious. But there was that sense of.
But you know what? That didn't. That had nothing to do with aggression, Don. You kicked the field goal there. The game's tied.
I know, but
they go for it. It doesn't make sense.
That was. Let me tell you this right now, okay? I've been a Washington fan my whole life. This is the first time we've ever had a defense where when they went for it, I was like, oh, good, go for it. Because they're actually great in the red zone. What are you going to do? You're going to try. It made no sense. Why would you not take the points? That's the only strength of the Washington team.
Watching them a lot this year, I do wonder, everybody keeps pinning the Super Bowl. You know, you can't get rid of Peterson because he won a Super Bowl. How much of it was Peterson? How much of it was DeFilippo? How much of it was Reich? I mean, he stands there with his Denny to menu, and he comes up with these fourth down plays that are dumb. He cuts off half the field when he's going for 4th and 2. He cuts by rolling the quarterback right. You're cutting off half the field.
You can't take the Super Bowl away from them, but you're right. I mean, there's going to be... Listen, they are going to get wrung through the mud here. There are going to be a lot of... I think this could be a turning point for the franchise, to be honest with you, because this is the first time, I think, in the NFL that we've seen this blatantly done, like to this extent. Like, we've seen teams resting players when they've already clinched a playoff berth. I cannot remember on national television something this egregious. So... Will players want to go to Philadelphia knowing that they're willing to do this? Does Doug Peterson's reputation get sullied because of the fact that, hey, it's not working great anyway? There are people trying to take sides. Is it Wentz's fault? Is it Peterson's fault? Something like last night, players in the league might side with Wentz now and go, you've got a nut job for a coach. What's going on with that organization? You know, it's not like that they're pointing high anyway, not knowing who their quarterback is. And if I'm Hurts, I'm like, I'm on national television. I don't get a chance to try to win a football game in the fourth quarter. You take that away from me?
And also,
how does that ring around the National Football League when people have to make decisions on going to play for Doug Peterson, going to play for the Philadelphia Eagles, knowing that something like that can happen?
I've got to take Carson Wentz to task as well. He wants to be traded. The contract extension that you signed doesn't even start till next year. It's a $59 million hit. Now, they might trade him, but imagine demanding it. Why doesn't Lurie just go, oh, okay, then void your contract? How dare you say demand to be traded? Play better.
Right, but you understand that he doesn't get along with his coach. And before the game on Sunday, there'd be a feeling of what's the matter with Carson Wentz? There's something going on with it. Now they see what happened and go, maybe I understand why they don't like this guy. Maybe I understand why he wants out of Philadelphia. This could be a very, just to go from 9 to 6, think about that. And I know they need wide receivers, and the 6th pick is always going to be better than the 9th pick, right? But to that extent, Michael, did you look at Twitter last night? Forget about the Giant fans. Forget about Giant media. I'm just talking about credible people in the NFL. Rich Eisen, Chris Mortensen, Sal Palantonio, just destroying them. The league is probably fit to be tied about this. They're probably
disgusted. I don't think there's anything they could do. There's nothing they could do because there's no rule technically against it. You're not supposed to tank, but they don't say if you do tank, this is what happened. So it would be a very, very heavy-handed thing for the league to do. Maybe somebody gets called on the carpet. Maybe Lurie gets called on the carpet. It's just not a good look for the league. It makes what's the difference between what the Eagles did in throwing a game? They threw a game yesterday. What if they threw a game for a gambler? Yeah, they'd all be thrown out of the sport.
That's different, though.
But you're throwing a game, Peter. You gave Washington. I'm not saying that Washington would not have won. You did not try to win a game. What's the difference of throwing a game for a gambler then?
Do you think the NFL wants to put a game on national television and one of the teams didn't do the best they could to try to win the game? You know, so you don't feel bad for the gambler or for the fantasy football guy that might have lost his league because of what happened or their office pool. But the whole idea of the league is when they talk about integrity, and you can feel how you feel about the league all you want. I know Roger Goodell is not the most popular person in the world, and I know the NFL, even though it's the most popular league, people don't like the way they're run. But integrity is still important. And to feel like that both teams are trying to win is important when it's on national television and there are things that are on the line. And yes, it would have been obscured if the game was at 1 o'clock, but it wasn't at 1 o'clock. The nation is watching that. The NFL is watching that game. And a decision like that, although maybe not punishable now, don't be surprised. The NFL is very proactive. You have to admit that. That you will start to see some changes because of that. Because they were embarrassed last night. They were publicly humiliated last night.
I feel, guys, Michael, I don't know if you want to do it right now. But I feel at some point we need to get Andrew Gundling's feelings.
Oh, I will do it. We'll come back. We want
it's
to get
not fair.
No, it is fair. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. All three of us back in the saddle again. It's like a sequel of Blazing Saddles or a City Slickers, whatever the case may be. We are ready. Shot out of a cannon. That's a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Peter's in the lead in the pick segment.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't. And I don't want to. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay. It's LaGreca. It's Rosenberg. Most importantly, it's you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So this is Seth Joyner, former Eagles great. I guess they have a post-game show on NBC Sports Philadelphia. He said, I have never been more ashamed to be associated with the Philadelphia Eagles than I am tonight.
Wow.
Seth Joyner. Let's bring in our very own Seth Joyner, and that's Andrew Gundling, a born and bred a Philadelphia young man, and loves the Eagles, loves the Sixers, loves the Phillies, loves the Flyers, loves Philadelphia things. And just in our pre-show conversations, Andrew, it doesn't seem like you have that much of a problem with what they did.
No, I mean, look, I understand the outrage. It was embarrassing. I get why people feel the way they feel about it, but ultimately the Eagles, no one wants to hear this, but the Eagles' obligation is to themselves. And I know you keep saying they were invited on national television. First of all, there's no invite. The Eagles would have declined if it was an invite. They wanted no part of being on national television. They just wanted this season to end. So they basically made the decision that we're, regardless of national TV or not, this is what is in the best interest of us. And you can mock the difference between picking ninth and picking sixth. Oh, where does it end? Well, like, you don't know what their needs are. If it's a, if they're a team that sees Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase, two of the top-rated college receivers of the last 10 years, those two guys are available. At nine, probably neither of them will be. At six, one of them almost definitely will be, and they desperately need that. Or if you look at their quarterback situation, Carson Wentz is demanding a trade. Jalen Hurts, we don't know what he is. So who's to say that they haven't ruled out the possibility of picking high to take another quarterback? You could say that's a bad decision. All they do is draft QBs. But from six...
Were you rooting for them to lose yesterday or win?
So last night, basically, I was normally... Like, football's an extremely emotional game. Last night, though, them losing, I was unemotional about it. I wasn't disappointed that they lost. I was happy that they had a higher draft pick. It was I was fine with them losing yesterday.
But here's the thing. As a diehard fan of this team, all right, your organization has been embarrassed today.
Yeah, I see that.
On one of the biggest platforms there is in sports. All right, well, you've got former players ripping them on their own post-game show. I mean, to what end are you willing to go from 9 to 6, still not knowing whether that pick is going to end up even panning out? Like, so what are you willing to do? What are you willing to sacrifice? What integrity are you willing to flush down the toilet bowl for moving up 3 slots in the draft? This is getting ridiculous now, where teams are willing to throw away seasons to move up in the draft. Just give up. Take a knee for the better draft pick.
Well,
what about the now? What about the moment? What about what made you a fan?
The Eagles didn't throw away an entire season. For one quarter of the season, they played a third-string quarterback. That's what happened.
I'm just talking about in general, but look at the reputation. Your reputation has been soiled. I'm sorry. You might not think so. You might not care. But right now, you're being laughed at by the National Football League. And for what? And if that pick doesn't pan out, you'll be laughed at even more. You don't think this could have long-term ramifications for this organization?
No, absolutely not. That I wanted to bring that up, too, because that I fully disagree with. There's parts of this that I see why what you guys are saying, but this idea that now guys won't want to come there, to me, this is not even a scintilla as bad as what the Giants did, removing Kurt Warner at 5-4 to play Eli Manning and tank the rest of the season.
That was never embarrassing. They were never publicly flogged for that. There were veterans that were disappointed.
That's the media's fault.
There were veterans that were disappointed, but it ended up playing itself out because Eli ended up needing that time, and then they go to the playoffs the next year.
And
it would have been further embarrassing if Eli didn't work out.
Who's to say that this is not just as likely to pan itself out for the positive, that number six pick does turn out to be a game-changing player for them? Jalen Hurts was mad last night at the Eagles for taking him out, and I totally get it. If they use that sixth pick to take a number one wide receiver for the next 8 to 10 seasons, I think things are going to be smoothed over between Jalen Hurts and the organization.
If it doesn't
work
out, then they'll be tanking again to get another better pick. It's just a vicious cycle. It just annoys me to no end. I understand you looking for a silver lining because you've got to live with this because this is your team. But Michael, you get what I'm saying? Like, to embarrass yourself to that point to go from 9 to 6?
Well, I feel this. I understand where Andrew's coming from. And if I was Andrew, where like the immediate reaction was so loud and monstrous against the Eagles, I would also probably find a line to defend. I will say this, though. No, I don't think free agents will say, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. They're losers now or anything like that. Where I do really agree with Don, though, I do think karmically it's terrible. I do. Karmically, to have a moment that literally we've been watching football, all of us, everyone who was affected by this has been watching football their whole lives and had never seen a move quite like this. Where it's a competitive football game with a lot on the line, and in that moment, you do something so egregious to try to lose. Karmically, Andrew, I think
okay,
it's terrible.
Let's talk about karma then, because who was the beneficiary of this last night? Washington. And what was the story that came out about them this past offseason? That they're one of the most poorly, horribly run franchises in sports with the most deplorable owner.
And how has that worked out for us?
They just won the division. It worked out. You're division champs. Where's the karma?
Hold on. They won the division this year in the worst year ever. We've been absolutely awful for the entire run of Snyder.
But I'm saying if you want to argue karma,
the only change that you would say is this year, what they do, they finally change the name And then they won the division. They did something they should have done morally and finally got benefited by
it. And who's your owner? It's still the same guy. All the bad stuff that's gone on, it's still the same guy.
Now you're reaching.
How is that reaching?
This is now a reach. You're reaching. Because what happened yesterday was about integrity of the game. You're telling me
that karma is the reason.
Because they disrespected the game. They disrespected the game of football.
Karma is something that you can't touch. You can't quantify. We're talking voodoo now. The bottom line is there was a way to do this. Start Nate Sudfeld. Why even play with Jalen Hurts? You've seen him play at three games. You've got your opinion on him already. Why didn't they just start Sudfeld from the very beginning? By starting Sudfeld and having him play the final quarter of the game, it was so ugly. It was thrown in your face. There's a way to do this without being attacked for it.
And you know what? I mean, you're right, Michael. Even though I disagree with tanking, at the end of the Dallas loss, you could have said, all right, you know, we're calling off the dogs. We're going to start Sudfeld. He's coming off an injury. He hasn't played since 2018. We're going to want him to play. That would have changed the line, right? NBC would have never gone to the game, right? And it would have just been one of those afterthoughts, and nobody would have thought anything of it. It would have been filed away like Kansas City and Pittsburgh, who from the very second told you they were going to do what they were going to do. That's why it affected the line. That's why the Browns were a 10.5-point favorite yesterday, because of the fact that everybody knew the Steelers were going to call off the dogs. That's why Kansas City was like a double-digit underdog in their game, because everybody knew the situation. That would have gone down much easier than to have a 17-14 game. You suck the nation into thinking this was going to be a classic final and to decide who's going to go to the playoffs and who's not going to go to the playoffs, and then the plug was pulled on national television. You publicly embarrassed yourself to move up three slots. I hope you pick Lynn Swan with the pick, because that's what it would have to be to justify embarrassing yourself on national television in front of the entire world. Peter's right. It's unprecedented to go up from 9-6. It's so embarrassing. It's ridiculous. Just admit it. My franchises embarrass themselves all the time. I got no problem admitting it.
That is a fair point, Andrew. It was
the first thing I said.
Take the L.
I said already, Don. It was embarrassing. Don't scream.
Don't
at me on
defend
the show.
Them. You sit here and you're defending them. You're bending yourself like a pretzel to defend them. They're wrong. It was the wrong thing to do. It was embarrassing. Now move on. I'm not telling you not to be a fan anymore. I get it more than anybody. Don't defend them. It's not defendable. It's embarrassing.
And also, when you talk about moving from 6 to 9, here's a perfect example, all right? The Eagles had the 21st pick last year, and they chose Jalen Reagor, right? Or Reagor, however you pronounce it. The 22nd pick was Minnesota. You know who Minnesota took? Justin Jefferson. 88 catches, 1,400 yards. It's what you do with your draft pick. So 6 or 9, they had the higher draft pick, and the team after them took the better player. 6 to 9 is not a reason to embarrass yourself publicly on national television. 6 to 9. Now, I was all for the Jets losing every game after they won 0-13, and I think those two wins are going to end up hurting them. But 6 to 9, you're willing to put your franchise in such a bad light for 6 to 9. Wow. Not a good look. Not a good look. All right, when we come back, Sal Palantonio is red hot about this as well. He's been around the Eagles for decades. And he actually texted me earlier today, said, I'd love to come on and talk about this. I said, you got it, buddy. So Sal Pal will be on with us in just a moment. That's right here on Yes, and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This.
is the Michael Kay Show.
Obviously, the Eagles tanked yesterday. So Peter texts me and goes, well, you're all for this. This is what you're about. I didn't respect it. I respect a tank job when there's not something that's hanging in the balance for other teams, because you have to respect the sport.
Yes, I was coaching to win. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years, and I felt that he deserved an opportunity to get some snaps.
Let's bring in Andrew Gundling.
Just admit it. My franchises embarrass themselves all the time. I got no problem admitting it.
That
just
is a fair point.
It was the L.
It was the first thing I said.
Take the L.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream
at me
on the show.
Don't defend them.
The Michael Kay Show.
It was in a word. What's the word again?
Troubling.
Troubling.
On 98.7 ESPN.
It was don't scream at me on the show, not the radio.
Because I was so into it, I never heard. And now I just have a completely different feel on the whole event.
Well, it was very uncomfortable.
Wait, you didn't know how?
Get that.
You didn't know how bad it got, Don?
I knew that we screamed at each other or got loud or whatever. I never heard him say don't yell at me on the show.
Don, I was telling Anthony this during the commercial right after that if we were allowed to be back in the studio now, when we went to break after that outburst, Andrew would have walked in and punched you right in the face.
I knocked your face dead. I didn't think that at the time.
But now you do.
Peter and I do.
Now
I will fight you after this show.
After the rejoin, I have a completely different perspective.
And by the way, I just got to point out for everyone who was worried about the show since we lost RJ. I mean, how was that for Anthony Pusick's first rejoin?
Beautiful.
That was outstanding. Come on. That was outstanding. Now, Anthony, can we go back and hear how this unfolded one more time between Andrew and Don?
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him.
It was in a word. What's the word again?
Troubling.
Troubling.
That one I didn't get.
Now,
okay.
There's a lot of things that took place during the Sal Palin interview as well.
Oh, my God.
I had my Tay Diggs moment.
Well, that, or you know what? It's a good show, Michael. You should listen.
Well, which part are you referring to?
Well, he said, remember when I was on, I thought that he was one of those guys that said, they both deserve credit. And I said, yeah, it was tough for you. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't, because that's the thing. Is like, do you remember? And the answer
and
from Michael should have been, no, I don't remember what you said.
No, I don't remember what I ate yesterday.
And by the way,
so
and you guessed, and you went with what most people would say and not knowing that it's a tough call. And I do remember him emphatically saying that it was Brady.
But it's funny because what Sal doesn't realize, of course, because he can't listen every day, is Michael's asked that question to a million people. It's a thing we talk about a lot.
And also, we love Sal. Lighten up, Francis.
I need you guys to be my guardrails.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you something right now. Did you both understand
completely
the cheating on your wife thing?
Completely.
Well, it was like if you're going to what the Eagles did was they cheated on their wife and they streamed it live on Instagram.
Yes.
How was that like?
Because that's not he didn't care for the analogy.
That one I didn't get, Michael.
No, I got to tell you. Hold on, one second.
Don. Lighten up, Francis.
But Don, you guys gave me an incredibly hard time for my jokes to Steve Young. We found out Andrew through private conversations with Steve. He was never offended by my joke. That analogy did not work with Sal Powell.
No,
Michael should apologize.
He was offended. You should apologize, Michael. I agree with you.
He did not.
I don't know. But again, I know why Peter offended Steve Young because
I didn't
there's no
him.
Class.
Yeah,
this
I, didn't
one, I was not offending. I was just trying to get some kind of thing that would make sense to people.
I know, but it doesn't make sense to him because infidelity is something he obviously does not ever want to have cross his mind. He's not that type of guy.
He's one of my favorite people, but I mean, that was. My first interview of the year was awkward. The first interaction between you and Andrew was awkward. We're off to a flying start in 2020.
I got to just tell you that we were just getting loud like we occasionally do. I did not realize that I offended Andrew.
Can I tell you this one thing, Don? And this is gonna land hard. This is gonna hit different.
Yeah.
I think he hates your guts.
I don't know.
If he could stick a pin in your eye, he would do it.
But I don't think he hates me now. At that moment, he did.
Andrew, did you hate him at that moment?
In that moment, yes. Because
and
I don't know. I actually don't know that I've ever been spoken to that way in my life ever. Let alone on the radio for how many thousands of people. So it was jarring for me, and what resulted was me trying to reach that level back.
I don't scream at me on the show.
Duncan, you believe the idyllic lifestyle this guy had? He's never been spoken to like that all the time. I was screamed at.
Most people have been screamed at before.
Yeah, sure. I was spoken to like that a lot of times. I mean, that's the majority of my conversations with people.
You should have had Thanksgiving dinner at my family.
Oh my god, for years.
We're screaming at
each other. There's at least three or four times this holiday where it's gotten to that point.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
But I'm sorry, Andrew. If I knew that you felt that way, I would never have gone there.
I think it's good that Andrew experienced it.
Yeah.
I think in his evolution as a talk show host, in addition to being a producer, it's
this
a
very big day, Andrew. This is a pivotal day.
Yeah, you need to be able to go all the way there. And the truth is, Andrew Gundling is one of the most sound, intelligent football fans I know. Okay,
I love this guy.
I do a podcast, a wrestling podcast called Cheap Heat. And I jokingly call my co-host, Stack Guy Greg, for his constant defense of the product, I call him the contortionist. Don's right. Andrew was being the contortionist. He was twisted into a pretzel trying to find a silver lining in the Eagles. And Don called him for it. He called him hard.
How about this, Peter? Our program director, the brilliant Ryan Hurley, just texted me, said, Andrew, obviously raised by the Brady Bunch. He's never been yelled at.
He's from Philadelphia, a place where they vomit on people.
Ryan must know, because how many times did Ryan and I yell at each other?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, Andrew, really, you never got yelled at as a kid?
I got in trouble, but my parents, they weren't yellers. Well, I never got into that kind of.
I mean, I would misbehave. I mean, the rusty pipes would come out across the side of my head.
That's also not normal.
No, you don't want that because not only did your parents want to hurt you, they wanted infection.
Right.
But being yelled at, and listen, I grew up in a very loving home.
So did
but
I.
Getting yelled at was just like standard.
No one's saying that it's not. Like, I'm not accusing your parents of loving you less. I think there's just different styles, and I don't know. I just never got screamed at.
But for the record,
we've been doing this show since when, Don?
1947.
This is one of the most startling revelations ever. You've never been yelled at. How old are you?
36.
36 years? Your wife never yells at you?
I mean, we get into disagreements, but no, never. It's not like that.
Dear God.
God. That is so...
What a blessed existence you've had.
You know what? Something that I did that really, by tomorrow, I forgot that I did it. And it affected him emotionally to that deep.
It's terrible.
Just yelling at somebody just didn't seem like a big deal, because getting yelled at is no big deal.
And did you hear the tone in his
Can
voice?
Can we hear the tone one more time, Anthony? Because I think it's
uncomfortable.
Important.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him. That was that. Don't like disrespect me. That was basically Peter. Now I know how you felt when I said I wanted to smack your face dead.
Yeah,
that's how it hit me.
Andrew, can I also assume that you've never yelled at somebody like that?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh my God, I don't think I have. History, Don. You made history.
For the record,
before we start calling him, you know, Rebbe Gundling over there, just so you know. Andrew bottles it up and then occasionally will turn and just throw his notebook against the wall.
Right. I try every day.
It's happened.
Yeah, it's just a different style.
Yeah, it's like Michael's down the line in Tampa or wherever he is, just complaining and nudging and being annoying. And Andrew then hits the mute so Michael doesn't hear it and throws his notebook against
I've done
the
this,
wall.
Andrew, I...
No.
Now, other people that you've produced, I'm sure you did that, but I make you do that?
No, it's... No, you have not. But Peter is right. Like, that's what I'll do. I won't scream at anyone. I'll punch the table.
Which is not healthy.
You're probably right. I'm going to explode
we had,
one
Andrew,
day.
We had a very healthy exchange.
No, that's he doesn't think it was healthy, Don.
Well, it should have been.
He thinks it was toxic. He thought it was toxic. One more time, Anthony. I'd like to hear the tone in Andrew's voice if this is healthy.
Go ahead.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Listen, don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him.
I mean, he really stretched the vocal cords there, Peter.
But think about it. You could still hear him
containing himself at the same time.
Do you really want to keep that emotion inside? You got to let that out.
Yeah.
I let out emotion, just I don't I don't scream at people.
But I guess the thing is, I apologize because in no way, shape, or form did I feel like I was disrespecting you by yelling at you. But I get the sense that you felt that way.
No, not disrespected, but I felt like I had to meet your level of anger.
Don't yell at me on the show is your
don't scream at me on the show. Yeah, maybe disrespect. Sure, why not? Disrespected, yes.
By the way, Don, you didn't just catch that in that moment. That's years of Mike Lupica complaining about his coffee. I mean, there's a lot coming out there, okay?
Yeah, that's tough.
That's deep stuff coming out.
All right, Mike Lupica, can you get Bud Selig for the next segment?
And if Andrew didn't get him.
Yeah.
All right, so the Jets decided to fire Adam Gase. Why? I have no idea. I thought the guy did an unbelievable
job. He was great.
He's been great. Now, I'm going to tell you a little off the beaten path story where maybe this guy knew his fate. As part of our longtime partnership with the Jets, we've always had the head coach every Monday.
Every coach.
Even Todd Bowles, Mangini, Rex Ryan, we've had Herm Edwards. That's part of the gig. And this year, the executives of ESPN told me Adam Gase doesn't want to do it. I said, well, he has to. He doesn't want to do it. Now, Don got my ear and said, guests are whack. And I said, okay, fine. But maybe he knew what was about to happen. Because why wouldn't you want to come on the air if you thought you were going to have a good year? Why? Did he see the writing on the wall?
Yeah, but he tried to get out of doing the Jets pregame with Bob in his first year. I just don't think he liked doing it.
Remember when we talked about he's not going to get another job? Nick Saban's thinking about hiring him to replace Sarkisian.
Wow.
Now Bill Belichick is thinking about hiring him. I mean, do they not see what we just saw for 2 years?
Can we talk about that for a second? Because we were not on the air. All right? I understand that Bill sees football better and deeper and clearer than anybody on the face of the earth. How could he sit there and tell the media he's done a great job? He's done a great job with Sam. Come on, Bill. Tell me he wasn't trolling the Jets with that. Come on.
I don't know what was going on while we were up. Because you saw Daniel Jones yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Much more mobile than he's been. And the whole thing that they did the previous week was a lie. It was a setup. Daniel Jones said, you know, I'm not going to be able to move. I'm going to have to stay in the pocket. Then the next day, future Hall of Famer Joe Judge comes up. Yeah, he was a little more forthright than I want him to be. They set us all up.
Yeah,
they're setting the Cowboys up. We should never listen to anything anybody says. Yeah,
of course you shouldn't. Of course you shouldn't. But I never denied that the guy wouldn't work again. He'll never be a head coach again.
I don't know.
But he's going to, I don't know if he'll be a head coach. Clearly, you can't be a head coach. At least not in the NFL. He might go to Wake Forest or something to be a head coach. But, you know, Saban wants to hire him as an offensive coordinator. We'll see. But there's no way he's going to be a head coach again. What makes you want to do that? He won 9 games over 2 years. Lost 13 consecutive games. And he's not a joy to be around.
No, he's not a joy. He is not a joy. So
he did not
distinguish himself in any way, over these 2 years. He showed no genius whatsoever. And I give Chris Johnson credit because I think that Johnson is finally seeing the light, and Joe Douglas is going to handle this. Now, obviously, you're the owner of the team. You have the right to talk to the coach. But I think Joe Douglas is going to steer the ship. And Johnson also spoke today about possibly changing the structure where the coach goes and talks to the owner and the GM talks to the owner, setting up complete bedlam. And a lot of teams do it, but a lot of teams aren't as dysfunctional as the Jets. So bottom line is I trust Joe Douglas more than I trust Woody or Christopher Johnson. He had to fire him. I never liked Don knows, and he doesn't agree with me on this. I've done this for a long time. I don't call for people's jobs. I feel very uncomfortable. That's a family. He's going to get paid for 3 years, so he's going to be fine. He's not going to have to go to any assistants or anything like that. But the bottom line is he coached himself into being fired. He was awful.
He deserved it. And finally, it looks like the Jets organization has woken up, not only to allow Joe Douglas to make the decision, but change the stupid structure of everybody independently going to the owner. There should be a ladder going to the owner where the head coach answers to the general manager, which can now happen if the general manager hires the head coach, right? and then they can go and get Chris or Woody if he comes back to sign the checks and sign off on any decisions. Now, what I need to know from Peter is while you guys were away, I did what I thought was a fascinating 15 minutes with Q-Tip. I don't know if you went back and listened to it.
I have not heard it.
Very enjoyable, completely engaging. You know how I feel about guests. I begged him to call Chris Johnson.
Wait, does he have a number?
Well, we get him a number. I put him on hold, and we got him a number. Because if Larry David can call McCagnan and say, you should draft Lamar Jackson, then why couldn't Q-Tip call Chris Johnson
and
say...
Are you serious, Don?
I'm serious. And
Christopher Johnson thinks Q-Tip is how you clean your ear.
First of all, I told Q-Tip, I said, you're going to have to make clear that you're not one of his products, that you're actually Q-Tip from a Tribe
Called Quest. I don't even know if Q-Tip is actually a Johnson & Johnson product. I'll have to look it up.
Didn't Woody, date, a rapper or a rapper's girlfriend or something, Peter?
No, Woody's wife did.
Woody's
ex-wife.
The point is that if Larry David can call Mike McCagnan, why can't Q-Tip call Chris Johnson? All I know is I asked Q-Tip to call Chris Johnson, and now all of a sudden the structure's changed. So, Peter, can you find out if that conversation actually happened?
Sure, I'll definitely find out.
Because if not, we'll have to take credit.
Wait, why? Was that his take? Did he have what was his big take?
His big take is that Joe Douglas should make the hire, and I said, well, call him. He didn't know the Larry David story. He didn't know that famous people can call. He didn't know Chris Johnson was swayed by Peyton Manning.
Did Q-Tip know who Larry David was? I'm curious.
Yes.
Q-Tip is very...
He knew who I was.
Yeah, he is.
Well, if he knew who you were, then...
I'm saying. But that was an interview that was booked by Peter, and it really did well.
Incredibly giving of Peter, because I was on the periphery of it. This would be something that Peter could feast on, but he handed it off to Don.
Well, I was off already, and Q-Tip wrote me and said, I need to come talk to Jets. And also to Q-Tip's credit, I said, it's just Don by himself. Michael and I are off. He was like, I want to come on and talk. And so I said, you guys have a good time.
You're a good man, Peter.
I'm a benevolent.
A lot of people say really bad things about you, and I don't agree.
Thank you.
That went nice. What didn't go nice when I was away was that I had Keyshawn Johnson on, and Keyshawn Johnson admitted that he was given an opt-out that it was just me. Somebody offered him to not have to do it because it was just me, and he said, no, I want to do it with Don. But who was the one that reached out to Key and told him he could back out because it's just me? That's disrespectful.
That was me.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Spike from New Jersey tells me Q-Tip is indeed a Johnson & Johnson product.
Yeah, and that's why I told him you're going to have to change that confusion because you don't want Chris thinking he's talking to one of his products.
Wait, so that is Johnson & Johnson?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
I thought I've asked you that before and you said it's not that Johnson & Johnson.
Well, I wasn't sure it was Johnson & Johnson.
I don't know if Johnson & Johnson is Woody and Chris, but it's their company.
Has anyone ever really thought about the name Johnson & Johnson? It's a little crazy.
Yeah, there's many ways, but I like this job, so I'm not going to go really into it. 1-800-919-3776. We've got a lot of stuff to do. We haven't even taken a phone call yet. Thank you for everybody that's hanging on. But we're shot out of a cannon. We have 2.5 weeks of things to talk about. So forgive me. I have erred. Is that what I did? 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
The Jets decided to fire Adam Gase. He did not distinguish himself in any way over these 2 years. He showed no genius whatsoever. And I give Chris Johnson credit because I think that Johnson finally seeing the light.
I am sick of losing. I really think that Joe is the GM we've been searching for years. I have a lot of faith in him.
Joe Douglas is going to steer the ship. And Johnson also spoke today about possibly changing the structure where the coach goes and talks to the owner and the GM talks to the owner, setting up complete bedlam. And a lot of teams do it, but a lot of teams aren't as dysfunctional as the Jets. I trust Joe Douglas more than I trust Woody or Christopher Johnson. He had to fire him.
The Michael Kay Show.
I have erred. Is that what I did?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. What a start to the year. It's been amazing.
It really has.
Just like to, like, put this on the shelf these 2 hours and keep replaying it. It's that right? good. Now, for those of you that joined us right now, I don't know why you haven't been here since 2:55, but Anthony Pusick, who is now the new RJ, we're going to call him RJ Jr., so RJ
or RJ Jace.
RJ Jace would work. Anthony, can you play the exchange between Andrew and Don? Because I think everybody that wasn't listening at the time, they should be privy to what went on, where Andrew Gunling, one of nature's noblemen, lost his mind.
Take the L! I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him. You sit here and you're defending him.
Now, what makes that more remarkable is that through, you know, intense questioning, we find out that that's the first time Andrew has ever been yelled at in 36 years on this planet. Idyllic would be the word I'd use for, obviously, his life. So that's what we've learned today. Andrew has never been yelled at and has never yelled insane. At anybody.
Is that right?
Boy, I would really like, I would love to have Andrew come over to the Italian side of my family for Thanksgiving. Oh, they'll be yelling. It's just how it works.
I can just think off the top of my head of three separate occasions in which I raised my voice during the holidays and didn't think anything of it. And the person that I yelled at didn't think anything of it.
When I first met Jody, you know, I go over to my sister's house for holidays, and my sister and I, we yell at each other. We're not mad. We're just yelling.
Yeah.
And Jody said, well, what's wrong with you, guy? Why are you so angry? We're not angry. That's how we talk. That's how we talk. Andrew, obviously, thinks like Jody. Well, anyway.
Jody's very much a WASP, right?
You mean religious-wise?
In terms of, like, her background, her family background.
She grew up in West Virginia. She says she's lucky she has teeth.
But there's
And you kill me for about puzzles.
She says she's lucky she has teeth. Well, not me. I would never say anything bad about West Virginians.
But what I'm saying is she's not like, her parents aren't from another place. She's not Italian.
No.
She's not Jewish.
No.
She's not. Part of the country, I don't think they yell in the same way.
No, I've had a lot of women that I've dated that were very startled and taken aback by my family, by the yelling.
Yeah.
So the Jets fired Adam Gase today. So Rich Cimini has listed four candidates that the Jets have sought permission to interview.
Okay.
Eric Bieniemy, Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator.
Brock Ward.
Brian Daboll, the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith, coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. And defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus of the Colts. There will be several more requests in the coming days. Now, Cimini also mentions in the story that Joe Douglas will be running point on this. So he's the one running this job search. So it's not guys that have no skin in the game. Obviously, Joe Douglas has a great amount of skin in the game. Adam Gase was his buddy. Adam Gase essentially got him the job. Adam Gase is gone. So now, this is Joe Douglas's career. You got to make this work. And can I just make one aside here? So on Bart and Hahn today, Rex Ryan was on, kind of intimating that he wants to be interviewed for the Jets for the job. Don, does he think he's Billy Martin? I mean, really, does Rex really think that there's a chance?
No.
He did go on and say, I don't think that's going to happen, but to even entertain the thought.
Yeah, just he said, my time has passed. I think that's him reading the writing on the wall, not necessarily agreeing with it. I think Rex has always been a confident guy who believes that he could win with the Jets and probably deserves another chance. I'm not surprised by that. That's just Rex's way. He totally believes in himself. And when you look at the recent history, he's been their last great coach, right? Nobody else has been able to equal what he's accomplished, so you can understand him thinking that way. I don't think that would be a great hire unless you are going to bring somebody along that's going to help the quarterback, whoever it ends up being, whether it's Fields, whether it's Darnold, or whoever. They're going to have to bring somebody in that can really help this quarterback grow, because I'm all for hiring defensive guys, Michael, but you've got to also bring somebody aboard that's going to help the quarterback. That's why.
Yeah, but I just don't want them to lock themselves into they have to hire an offensive coordinator, because that was the specialty of Gase, and he was terrible. Just hire the best coach. Hire a CEO. Joe Judge was a special teams coordinator. A good coach is a good coach who will find other good coaches to coach up the other side of the ball.
Right, but you're going to have to try to get that. And I also think, and this is probably the kindest way to kill Adam Gase, is that maybe the reason he couldn't do anything to help the quarterback and the offense was because he was too preoccupied with being a head coach. He couldn't do both. You know, that's what Tony Siragusa one time told me. I was like, how did Brian Billick go from being an offensive genius to leading the Baltimore Ravens to a Super Bowl where it was all about defense? He said, because when you become the head coach, it's hard to really focus on all the other areas because there's so much else to do. And so maybe that's the better way. Get somebody who can be a head coach and make sure he can bring along assistants that can help grow the offense and grow the defense and all that. Because maybe the game's just too complicated to ask the quarterback whisperer to also, oh, by the way, be the head coach and deal with the media and discipline players and come up with a game plan and decide when to call timeout and decide when to go for it on fourth down. Maybe the game's too complicated now.
Now, speaking of Joe Douglas, I've been told by Don's mortal enemy, Andrew, that Joe Douglas is going to be on the air with us tomorrow.
Good. All right. Yeah. I'm excited for him. I really am, because it's been so unfair that he's looked upon as being in the pocket of Gase and all that. Well, he survived this, and now it looks like he's going to be able to make the hire.
And let's see if he's willing. I want to push him. I want him to say that Gase sucks on the air tomorrow. I want him to come out and say one negative thing about this season. I'm joking. I know he won't say Gase sucks, but I'm going to need some acknowledgement that this did not go well.
And well, I mean, the fact that they fired him is the acknowledgement, Peter.
Listen, he's not going to burn bridges, Peter.
No one will.
The one thing, Joe will admit, we got him to admit the last time he was on that it was, they bought into the 6-2 finish, and they were wrong about that.
Let me get this straight about the game of football, by the way. I'm sorry, I just want to clear this up.
Please.
So Alex Smith is back there, and we know, with everything he's gone through, 17 surgeries, he's hanging on by a thread, everyone loves it. The other team is willing to outwardly try to destroy this man and break his leg, and that's expected. That's part of the game, and that's football. But God forbid anyone say out loud that a man cannot coach to save his life. I was hoping we'd get Sam today so we could at least say, hey, Sam, now that he's gone, come on, this guy's...
But let me ask you something, Peter.
Come on, dog.
Who's the greatest college coach in the game right now?
That's Coach K.
No. Football. No,
that's Nick Saban.
He's thinking about hiring to be his offensive coordinator. Who's the greatest coach in the NFL?
That would be Bill Belichick.
And he's thinking about hiring him. Yep. Maybe we're not seeing it.
Maybe he's pushing drugs. I don't know what's happening. It's crazy town. But guess what? I'm tongue in cheek here. I know they can't do it, but I'm sorry, it does frustrate me a little bit that we haven't heard any acknowledgement from this organization that the failure of this team this season, guys, we watched it for the last 2 weeks. They were able to play okay. Yes, they're not a very talented roster. We know that. But guys, they were capable of being in football games. They were a poorly coached team.
Now, let me throw this at both of you, because when I saw Justin Fields in the Big Ten title game, I was wholly unimpressed. I mean, I was left empty. I don't watch a lot of college football. I'm always honest. But I watched every second of the playoff game. That was electric.
Yeah.
Electric. And I said that after the Big Ten championship game. I said, if I'm the Jets and I get the second pick, I'm keeping Sam, and I'm going to trade that pick. Now I'm not so sure, because as well as Sam did in the two games that they won, he didn't play well yesterday. He did not play well yesterday. And everybody keeps saying, well, you got to keep Sam. Well, here's the deal. The only way you keep Sam, in my opinion, is if you're dead convinced that he's a great quarterback, that everything that's happened is because of the previous coaches, and this guy just needs to be coached to be better. But if not, fiscally, it's irresponsible. He's going to make $25 million next year. Why would you keep him? If you could trade him and get some draft capital back, and you like Justin Fields, or you like the kid from BYU, then you got to make that deal. I don't think it's a slam dunk. You just keep Sam. Honestly, I know Don has been a big defender of him, Peter, and I like the guy personally. Has Sam blown the doors off anybody? Yesterday, he looked lost.
You just don't know whether it's all him or whether it's on the coaching. But we can all agree he has not played great. He's played better, but this isn't anybody over 3 years where you'd say with conviction that he is the franchise quarterback. Now, that's not for us to decide. What has to happen here is the new head coach. That's what I want to ask Joe Douglas. Is it really about you deciding it, or will you hire the next head coach and then have him say who he thinks it should be? Because I think that's important, too, especially if you bring in an offensive guy. What do you think of Sam? Because whether you believe in Fields or not, Michael, that performance against Clemson is going to make that number two pick more valuable to trade. So get something for that.
Oh, absolutely.
So you can't forget that. So if you bring in somebody who's looked, and remember, we've talked about this constantly, that there are people out there who still believe Sam Darnold's a good quarterback and he's just been poorly coached. Well, if you get a coach who believes that he could fix Sam, then that's and you make a trade with that second pick with the draft capital you already have, with the cap space you already have, you're in business. But if that coach says, you gave me a bunch of film on the guy, I watched him, I don't see it, but I love Fields, or I love the kid from BYU, then don't you have to go with what that coach thinks?
Unless you have a preconceived notion going into the interview process that you want to keep Sam. You have to hire a coach that thinks Sam is a deal.
Well, here's the good news. Like, at least it's going to be an unbiased opinion from Joe, right? Because Joe didn't draft Sam. Like, right. He'd be worried if this was Maccagnan, because then he would feel like, I want to justify my pick, my trade, and then my pick. Joe's got no connection to Sam. So if he likes Sam, it's because he really likes him, not because he feels like I got to justify something somebody else did.
Now I look at the Giants and the Jets. The Giants, I thought, had a year of progress. The Jets were terrible at 2-14. But the thing that leaves me empty about the entire football season here in New York, I don't know what Daniel Jones is. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't know what Sam Darnold is. There's been 3 years of Sam and 2 years of Daniel. Daniel hasn't shown me that much. And Sam has shown me less. So everybody says, well, the Giants are in good shape. They got a good coach. I agree with that. The defense is pretty stout. I get that, too, unless somebody hires away Patrick Graham to be a coach somewhere. But do you really feel comfortable with Daniel Jones? Do you think that? Are you sure that he's the guy?
Well, I mean, you're not in the same position the Jets are in, because he's not commanding a lot of money coming into next year, and you don't have a draft pick to get a quarterback.
Right.
So you're kind of forced into giving Daniel Jones that third year, because you really don't have an alternative, right? You're not going to be able to draft a quarterback. You're not going to be able to acquire a quarterback. So might as well just sit back, hope he's healthy. You take a look at the stats. I thought he cut down on the turnovers. The turnover yesterday was clearly not his fault. It was a great pass that was thrown again.
What is with Evan Ingram? How is he a Pro Bowl? Did I miss something?
Was the entire world surprised when they said that?
that he was a Pro Bowler? Well, yeah. I don't get it. All he does is drop passes, big time.
He
has big
skills,
moments.
And he can be dynamic. You just can't rely on him. He doesn't hold on to the ball. So, but he threw for, you know, in missing games, and despite some of the troubles early on, he threw for almost 3,000 yards, and he cut down on the turnovers. I'd like to see another year. And the Giants have that. But I think you go on notice, Michael, that all right, this is the year. This is the year. Daniel, you got to show us something, otherwise.
But how much does that stink, Don? What if the next year he doesn't show it again? Then you're really behind the eight ball. Everything gets set back 3 years.
But I do think there's enough there. All right, let's just look at how he played when he was healthy. All right, you won six games. You probably win more if he doesn't get hurt. I think you could.
I don't know. Do you beat Seattle with him?
Well, I mean, I'm going to assume you would have. I mean, what exactly did McCoy do?
Not make mistakes.
Right, and he was leading towards that. He was getting better, Jones, going into that game, or going into the second half of the Cincinnati game when he got hurt. All right? Would you have put up a better showing against Cleveland? Would you have done a better job against Baltimore? I don't know. Arizona, he was completely compromised against Arizona. So let's say they're a 7-9, 8-8 team if he had been healthy the whole year.
And then they're a playoff team.
Yeah, but normally you wouldn't be, right? So you still got to improve on this team. And then you go into next year, taking that next step. Hey, maybe now we can go 9, maybe 10. So you're going to have to find out. The defense, I'm happy with this defense. I think they come to play. I really do. They came up with big stops at the end of that game against Dallas. and the Cowboys are playing well going into that game. I think the defense is going to get better. I think the offensive line got better as the season went on. If anything, Michael, I think these weapons got exposed a little bit late in the year, right? I mean, Slayton looks a little coverable now. Clearly, they're going to move on from Golden Tate. Ingram can't hold on to the football. You know, but you get Barkley back. Maybe you, I think there's a chance. I'm gonna say this team's got to go like 9-7, 10-6. And if not, and if it's the quarterback's fault, then you're gonna have to move on. This is a big year for Jones. Big year.
All right, I've got to get some clarity from Peter here. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's being reported that Kevin Durant will miss tomorrow's game against the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And he's going to require 7 days of quarantine before returning to action due to contract tracing exposure to COVID-19. Mm. Again, I'm not making light of this. I believe that he had it before.
Right.
Right?
He did.
So there are very few instances of people getting it twice. I'm sure there are some instances. But
yes.
Here's the question I have. If you had it, and you still have the antibodies and can't get it again, and you're in contact with somebody who has it, do you have to be quarantined? Can you still spread it if you can't get it?
Yes. The way I understand it from when I got tested recently for antibodies is the antibodies help your body fight off the illness so it doesn't affect you that much, or okay. You won't get sick. It does not mean that the illness does not get into you at all.
So then you could, by breathing, you could give it to somebody else.
So you could get it, but you have the antibodies, so you're fighting it and you feel okay, but then you still are able to transfer it to someone else.
So likely you would be an asymptomatic carrier.
Right.
And also,
that's how I understand it.
And again, I'm not a doctor at all. I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night, but... Would his antibodies even still be there?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
It depends. That's
also unanswered. People don't know how long the antibodies last.
And I just tested negative for antibodies, but then I was told by the doctor they could come back. And it also sounds like that even if the antibodies aren't coming up necessarily, your body still may know be capable of fighting it off because you've had it. That part they seem very confused on.
And I got this. I know someone that had the Moderna vaccine. 28 days between shots.
Oh, yeah, and the other one is 21 days.
And so you're talking about 5-6 weeks before you can get into the 95% protected range.
Yeah, but the first one gives you like 70% protected.
I heard 50. I guess it depends on whether it's Pfizer or Moderna. Right. But the fact is that just because people are getting vaccinated doesn't mean they're out of the woods for weeks.
No, it takes a long time.
Because there have been some people, and also... It takes like a week or so before it becomes effective because there have been people that have tested positive after getting the vaccine because it hadn't kicked in yet. So I guess Fauci said that we're looking at maybe getting back to normal in September or October. And yeah, because it's going to take a while.
It'd be nice if we can get the vaccine into people's arms.
That's another thing. But I'm just saying even getting it in, it could be 5-6 weeks before it's fully effective.
I've got some good news.
Please.
Steve Young's going to join us.
Oh, see, this is...
I love it. That is good news.
Is that great news?
I think it's great.
Very good.
Very good news. So
he's doing it on the arm here. This is not an any obligation.
No. His obligation is over. Yeah. By the way, Monday Night Football's over. He's done.
Yeah, much to my chagrin, there's no Monday Night Football tonight.
I know. It's the worst. But Don, isn't his obligation still not an obligation? He just likes doing the show?
Right. He didn't get paid a dime.
So his obligation
is... Almost like Peter.
Sorry?
Nothing. Steve Young joins us in just a moment. The Hall of Famer right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.